Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast. Well, it's morning anyway, as James and I are recording this. How are you doing today, James?
Doing good. I've had my two cups of coffee. I'm all fired up and ready to go.
I'm a tea person, but I'm right there with you.
Good.
Coffee and I have never become friends. I know that's going to offend some people, but I can't stand coffee.
Yeah, well, remember the first time I had it, it was terrible. And I'm like, why does everybody drink coffee? It's so bitter. It's tasteless. Anyway, I've acquired the taste throughout the years.
See, that's the problem. If something's an acquired taste, I don't bother.
Come on. What about wine? Did you?
I don't drink wine.
Oh, there you go.
I don't. You know.
Wasn't
on my list.
Yeah. And beer, I think, is the same way. I remember the first sip of beer I had. It was like, ugh, this is terrible. And granted, I was in third grade drinking from a foamy warm silo cup hiding in the bushes at my brother's party with one of my friends. Thought we'd take a sip of what is making everybody kooky and crazy. But anyway, That was a long time ago.
All right. Hey, let's get started. So the Microsoft Partner Program is changing again. This isn't exactly today news, but it is recent news. And we've not talked about it.
Yeah.
Probably because of my feeling that it should not be a big deal for any MSP out there. But it's still in the news.
Still in the news. Yeah, I saw a couple articles about that. I think Microsoft, big picture, there's over 500,000 Microsoft partners. That's a lot. It's the biggest, most successful partner program out there. I think they're just trying to whittle down and focus on the revenue generating partners. And I know it's not a very big threshold, but it looks like there's a minimum requirement for revenue. You know, quarter over quarter, year over year, it looks like that number is fluctuating and it's not super high, but for the little guys out there, something just to be aware of, if you're, receiving any of the Microsoft benefits, you know, you're going to want to make sure you hit those minimum revenue requirements to stay in good graces. I think they're just trying to weed that out. And to me, one of the bigger devastating things that kind of, it's already happened a while ago, was that the loss of the Microsoft Action Pack. I was always a big fan of that, free, not for resale licensing, you know, for us to demo and use it internally. That was always a big perk. I know my organization took advantage of for years.
Yeah, we did too. Till the cloud came along, then we left it, but we did get up to the silver partner and whatever the thing was called after that, which gave us more access to cloud, the cloud product line than the Action Pack was at the time. But, you know, I think that number, that entry number for partner now is like $1,000 for the revenue generation. It's not high at all. It's a very modest number.
Yep.
But I have a feeling it'll cut the numbers big time. Probably the same people that were just there for the Action Pack. They've been wanting to trim those off for a long time. I think this will finally do it, of course, because there's no more Action Pack and you have to actually be producing some revenue.
Yeah.
You know, I made a lot of money off that partner program over the years. You know, it does open up things. You know, our level of partnership raised the revenue sharing from Microsoft when we went through Tech Data. A lot of distributors didn't share that, but Tech Data did. So we stuck with them. And then we would also get rewards and bonuses and special deals that Microsoft runs every month, perks, yeah, different things like that. So it was always worth it for us. So dig in there, find out where the money is for you. And that's how you, you know, how you're going to make that decision.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And I too, in my organizations, we always were strong Microsoft partners, and you got to put a little elbow grease, a little energy into understanding all the benefits. You know, that's probably the biggest problem with their partner program is they've got so many different things. It's really confusing. But like Amy said, it can make you money if you pay attention to it. It's, I mean, that's why 500,000 MSPs are partners, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's it is just require a little elbow grease. I remember they had a bonus on 365. There'd be like a promo SKU. Well, we'd move all of our users over to the promo SKU for a couple months, make an additional, it was sometimes, you know, pretty significant, $5 or $10 a license even, and then and we'd move them all back. And Tech Data had some tools that made that fairly easy to do. But you know, those are the games you have to pay to make the bucks. So we did.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Oracle. A couple things about Oracle. They're making some headlines because their revenue is skyrocketing. Yeah. And then, you know, of course, in the headlines is, you know, who's the really richest man in the world today? Is it Larry Ellison or is it Elon Musk? They're running neck and neck, I guess. And I don't know who cares. They probably don't even care, but that's been the headline. But the other part of this headline, you know, the reason Ellison's value shot up is he owns so much stock in that company still. He still owns something like 40%. Did I read that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So his, you know, when the stock moves, his wealth moves dramatically. But I also did see that Oracle databases, they're the most, they contain the most amount of data in the world when you put them all together. And they are currently untapped for AI training. So there's another opportunity there for some,
yeah,
for some money making and some deals to come. And to me, that's more of an interesting thing about Oracle than the fact that their revenue soared. But yeah, as you look at databases, Oracle seems to be the winner.
Yeah. Yeah. They, and they're investing in AI in a big way too, you know, but mm-hmm. they, you know, it's good to see that. No surprise, but I think that's helping, you know, their revenues, you know, grow so quickly. And it's interesting in the, you know, in my history in the channel, I used to run into Oracle partners all the time because I did have some enterprise clients. But then after I sold my business, started working exclusively with MSPs, most MSPs are pretty small. And, you know, you don't really hear about Oracle very much. But they just continue to grow and do well throughout the year. So good for them.
It's complex. It's a really complex system. So when you have an Oracle database, you don't just have a database sitting out there. You've got an application that's been built around that. And you're right, it's much more of an enterprise situation.
Yeah.
So speaking of AI stuff, you mentioned Oracle's investing in AI. Well, Kaseya's trying to shift around their company to be AI first, and that means that they're shuffling their leadership. I don't know these people. I'll go ahead and butcher their names. Anthony Anzavino, Chief Revenue Office, and Pratik Water is Chief Technology Officer. You know, they're moving it all around. We still have one familiar name out there. Dan Tomaszewski, I believe is how he pronounces that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, he's still out there in the channel doing good things for partners. You know, and so there's aligning their AI first platform with their people. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep, absolutely. It's good to see Dan, you know, remaining in that channel role because he's such a community leader we all know him, and you know, it's one great thing Kaseya has going for him for sure, I think.
I think so too. And some consistency in that customer facing role I think is really important.
Yep.
Yeah. So Apple had big announcements this week. It came out with all their new all the new phones, iPods, watches. AirPods. Man, I'm stumbling today. I should have let you take the lead, James.
I think it's the tea. I think it's the tea. I'm just saying.
Oh, maybe. We can even blame the tea. Yeah, a couple interesting things out there. Their flagship product is a couple thousand dollars, but their other ones did not change price.
Yeah.
And we were expecting some big price increases from Apple, but for the moment on these immediate releases, they've managed to hold it consistent. And they came out with some cool new features too. You know, they've got new liquid glass technology in the phones and on the watch. And then the watch got some nifty new health features. They're really doubling down on health.
Yeah.
For the watch, they had said, you know, that's really the primary function of the watch. And they added this surprised me. I'll tell you about this. It's a hypertension detection, right? That's high blood pressure.
Yep.
And they said, you know, Apple said, well, they expect to diagnose or help people diagnose 1 million new cases of high blood pressure from people that didn't know they have it. And that's really awesome because it's right up there as top killers. So you do need to find it, be aware of it, and treat it. Well, what really surprised me was that they thought they could find that many more new cases because the entry level on that watch is something like $400. I would think that people that were buying that would be of the class of people in the country that have health insurance and are hopefully taking better care of themselves. But I mean, I don't know, either I'm wrong or Apple's wrong. I don't know.
It was good to see Apple hold the price though on several of their devices. You know, I thought for sure everything was going to go up like you'd hinted at because of the tariffs and parts and costs, just everything, you know, seems to cost more. So I'm glad to see that. I don't know if the market would have absorbed that. So honestly, I think that was a really smart decision. That that $2,000 iPhone though, that looks pretty sexy. I might have to convert after years of being an Android guy. But
all right, welcome to the club.
Yeah,
I am not going to get a new phone. I have the 16, so I'm usually like an every other model person. I may get a new watch though, because I do really appreciate the health functions on the watch.
I do too. I wear that watch typically on the weekends and sometimes when I exercise, but the watch to me is almost like a Fitbit. It's all about me tracking health. So it's good to see that they continue to expand on that too.
You have a watch, Apple Watch, but you don't have a Apple phone.
Well, I have a Galaxy. It's a Galaxy Watch.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So great. It's all connected and it doesn't have all the cool features, that I would like. So I'm looking for something new. I want to be able to track, you know, obviously all the, you know, steps and health and fitness. There's a really cool app called the My Fitness Pal that you track all your calories and or protein and fat and things like that. Meal over meal, day over day, you know, keep track of that. The one feature I wish that my Galaxy had was like an oximeter that it tracks your oxygen levels. And, you know, after years ago going through that little COVID scare, I'm, you know, always try to keep my eye on that. And I bought the new watch about a year and a half ago, and it didn't have that feature in it. The old one did.
There's some kind of patent issue. So Apple struggled with that as well. When I first bought my watch, it had the feature.
Yeah.
And then they had to disable it. So watch got an update and they had to disable it. And it's gone. And, I think it's back in the new watch, but there's still this company that holds that patent is still saying, you know, no, you can't use it without paying us. So I don't know. I don't know how long it's still going to be in there, but I'm with you. I think that is a
great feature.
It's a great feature to have. So the other feature that I like in my Apple Watch a lot is non-health related, but I have the cellular chip. So I'm an AT&T person. AT&T for $10 a month, it will give my watch a phone number, and then it can use cellular anywhere. It's attached to my phone plan in some way, but it has its own unique phone number. But when you dial, if I call out on my watch, which I can do, it comes out as my cellular phone number. So that number that it has is kind of hidden.
Okay.
That's cool. So I can make and receive calls from that watch. It also has a walkie-talkie, which makes you feel exactly like, Dick Tracy from the cartoons. You hit it on you hold the button in on the screen and you talk into it, and the other person hears you instantaneously, like walkie-talkie on the other end. It doesn't make that little sound, so you got to add that.
Yeah.
But it's very, very cool. We took it. We got those watches to tell you. Final story before we wrap up this long, windy tale. We got these watches before we went on a cruise to Antarctica. And he said, we're going to use it for whales. So, like, if you're someplace and you see a whale, you know, walkie-talkie and be like, whale, port side, you know. And we did. We did that. So it was awesome.
I'm waiting for that feature to come out, that translator that it'll listen to a foreign language like French, you know, Italian, and immediately translate it so you know what they're saying.
That is a super cool feature, and that reminds me that I read this morning that it's only available for non-EU residents. Mm. So, you know, the EU has very strict regulations to encourage competition, right? So they don't like things that are always on, automatically on, that kind of thing. So this is automatically on. And what it does is super cool. So you can be traveling in another country and someone speaks to you and you have your iPods and you will hear it in English.
Yep.
Doesn't tell you how to respond to them, but yeah. You at least know what they're saying.
Yeah.
But if you're in the EU, if you're an EU resident, it's not going to work for you. So,
yeah. Interesting.
It's part of their competition rules. It has it's fallen aside. Hey, the last thing I wanted to talk about today is a little less relevant to MSPs, but a lot more relevant to probably everybody, mm-hmm. and that is. We're seeing a lot of regulations come down, and maybe your clients will talk about this. A lot of new regulations coming down to protect kids from inappropriate content on social media, particularly the streaming sites. So South Dakota, Wyoming have both put fines out there. And then there's a few other states. Mississippi, I know, is one of them. And then I just saw that the country of France has decided to require an age test, and they're even considering some sort of criminal case against TikTok for their refusal to participate in that.
Interesting.
So a lot of things going on to try to protect minors from inappropriate content.
I'm actually happy to see that. You know, there needs to be some more accountability, and I'm normally not a regulation type of guy, but I think it's been free reign for so long. There's a lot of harm that's being done out there, especially to our children. I saw in the news there were some suicide things that against ChatGPT and OpenAI that were just disturbing to see. I'm glad that they're trying to crack down on that. So that's good news.
Yeah, California is the only one I've seen so far that has any AI content regulations for minors. They just enacted that. I think it takes effect in January. So I mean, it's good to have sort of that wild, wild west in the beginning to let the new technologies grow and see where they land and what they can do. I think we're here on the social media side. We know the bad things that it can do. So it's time to start to rein it in. I agree with you. I think this is common sense and good use of good use of regulatory powers.
Yep. Yep. So I agree.
Hopefully more states will jump on that, and maybe someday we'll get a national ruling on what that standard should be.
Got it.
So that's all the news that's fit to talk about today, James.
Yeah. It was, seemed like a lot of AI, and economy stuff in the news. So, but hey, just a friendly reminder, we'd love to hear from you guys. Any questions, comments, questions of the week, or feedback on anything that Amy and I have chatted about, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and send any of your questions in to james@kernanconsulting.com, and we'll make sure we bring them up on the program.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to another edition of the SMB Community Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.